Kent said he thought he was underdressed. Does that mean I'm overdressed? Well, I figured to get a bow tie ordered and a vest ordered for the service yesterday. I might as well take advantage of it and use it. And use it more than once. So you'll probably see the vest and the tie again. Now I own a total of 3 bow ties. Woo! So every once in a while I like to wear them. And we were talking about Sunday school, and a couple of folks were mentioning that they had family members that they always wore bow ties. And so I did have a bow tie for doing a wedding a number of years ago, and I wore it in another church. And the lady came up to me, very nice, pleasant lady. But she sometimes would share what she really felt like without any filter sometimes. And she said, "Do me a favor, don't ever wear that bow tie again." So guess what I did? I wore it again another time. But it's interesting I said that because the title of the message today is The Message of Love. I didn't wear it out of spite. And I don't think she said it out of spite. I don't know what she had against bow ties, but the title of this today, from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 17, the title is called The Message of Love. The greater part of the message of the Bible is the message of love. That God loves mankind. God loved and chose to create out of an act of love. God chose to love and God loved Adam and Eve. God has loved every person since then. God loves every person now. Does it mean that God loves every deed or action of every person? As we well know that we've looked at in this book also. God calls sin sin, and it is a disobedient act against the will of God. And so, in the message of love, we also say that the message of love is the central message of the gospel, the good news. That God so loved the world that he sent his son to be born, to live. Not only is the gospel message, I don't know why it's rubbing so. I think it was the vest. It was rubbing again. So, maybe it's not me. I'll try that. All right? The message of love is the center of the gospel reaching us, but the message of love is also what God has given us into our hearts that we might use the message of love to share with other people, to give to other people. And many ways, it sets at the central part and the most important part of Christianity. And it really sets Christianity apart from what many other people believe and teach. There's one great religion of the world, if you would tell them that your God never mentions that you are loved by your deity, they would say you're correct. We have to do enough things to try to earn God's love. Christianity, the Word of God teaches that God loves us. God takes the first step toward loving us. There's nothing that we can do. There's not enough things that we can ever do to earn God's love. God's love is his will of loving and to love us. We love God because he first loved us, and he tells us to go and share that message of love. Now, if you're familiar with the Greek, in the Bible, and Greek in history, we will know that in our Bibles, we translate several words as love. In Greek, there were actually 4 different words for love. There's a word for friendship love. There's a word for romantic love. There's a word for love that God has for us. And the love that we have for one another as brothers and sisters. And so the main love that here is being talked about is a love that's called agape love, godly love, and love for from God to us, and God's love pouring out to the people, agape love. And so we think, well, that's kind of confusing, but it does clarify in the language what love we're talking about. But in English, we find throughout the Bible, love is used over and over for these different loves. And so this love here is the agape love. So let's look at what God's Word says. Stand if you're able, as we give reverence to the Word of God, giving standing in the presence of God, and God's Word being read as it did long ago in the book of Ezra, as they came back into the promised land after being away in captivity. They stood, and the Word of God was read for hours. We'll just read for just a few moments today. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 11, "For this is a message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother." The first two children on the earth, one kills the other. Because he didn't love as God loves. And because of what the Bible says, what we see here. "And now he slew, therefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world would hate you." So in other words, if our actions are right with God and other people's actions are evil against God, don't be surprised, even as Jesus taught us, that they might hate us. Verse 14, "For we know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer shall have eternal life abiding in him. Wherefore, and whereby we receive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren." Verse 17, "For whosoever hateth this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion in him and from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Great question. John is asking, if we have God's love, how can we just bind it up and not give it out freely as God has given it to us? Father, we thank you again for the message of love that's all through the Word of God. The message of love that's all over the ministry of Jesus. And Lord, the message of love that came to our hearts when we understood that God loved us and wanted to give us everlasting life, wanted to give us the removal of our sins, wanted to give us a permanent dwelling place with God Almighty in heaven. Thank you for that message of love. And Lord, thank you that so often from this church, we participate in projects that share the love of God with the world around us. Not only here in Fauquier and Virginia, but around the world. Father, we pray that that message of love would just continue to swell out of our hearts so great that we just can't keep from sharing. Father, we want to do that by your Spirit, by your strength, by your power, by your Word living and dwelling in us. And so, Father, remind us some things today about the message of love that we find in you and in your Word today. As we examine your Word, as we our hearts, as we sang, as the deer pants for the water, we are panting and waiting to wanting to hear from you. We want to be filled with your goodness, your righteousness, and your deeds. So, Lord, we seek your face that you might do that through us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May you be seated. As we see in our Bibles, there are chapter divisions that help us so much. As we started a couple weeks ago in this chapter, chapter 3, we're reminded about love. We're reminded about, for God loved us. And the effects of love on us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed, or lavished, or poured out upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it does not appear what we shall be yet. It doesn't appear yet, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And so that love that God poured in our hearts has caused us to respond to him. And that love that he has for us has caused him to give the promise that we're not going to stay here, but we're going to go to be with him. And so John is still in that whole vein of that thought
And he continues that. He took a little parenthesis here to talk about some other things that we looked at. But it goes back to this matter of love, the message of love that God has given us. And now he's talking more about how it ought to affect us in our daily life. We see at the beginning of the chapter how the love of God is affecting us to be saved, to be born again, and is affecting us that we're looking forward to going to heaven. We talk about in Sunday school that when Jesus saves us and we accept that salvation, that we are sanctified or set apart in our position with God. And one day he'll take us to heaven, and that will be our final, our ultimate setting apart to be with him. But during that process between getting saved and getting born again, getting right with God, getting into his family, and going to heaven, there's that time where we're left here on earth to be instruments. And what this passage is reminding us, that the message of love that's come to us is the message of love that ought to go out from us. And so we see some different parts of that, different aspects of that love that overflows to others. The first part is the message of love is to be shared. The message of love is to be shared. We find that in verse number 11 and verse number 17. This is the message that we've heard from the beginning, that we should, what? Love one another. Verse 17, whosoever hath the world's goods, or you have material goods that you can share, and see if his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, verse 17 uses an old English word, the word bowels. And sometimes in that culture where that's coming from, they thought the seat of the emotions was the bowels. Where we say the seat of the emotion is from our hearts. As Mark Lowry said some years ago, I'm glad they changed that. Because we go around saying, I love you with all my heart. They would have said years ago, I love you with all my bowels. Aren't you glad they changed it to love you with all my heart? And so our love that we have, that God's placed in our heart, is not just placed there only for us to enjoy. Now we do enjoy God's love. We enjoy being loved, but we also enjoy loving others. And the message that love has come to our heart is a message of love that we ought to share with others. Now, it says in verse number 11, we see this phrase that's used multiple times in this passage. We have heard from the beginning. We have heard from the very beginning when the gospel message was first given to us, it was given to us the message of love. When Jesus began to go around, it was the message of love he was sharing with people. He began to teach on the Sermon on the Mount. He began to do miracles. He did a loving act to provide more wine at the wedding, the first miracle that we have is recorded. He was loving on people. And so John reminds us that what he saw when he heard that message of love from the beginning, but the message of love goes back even further than that. The one that's from the beginning is creation. Creation is an act of God's love. God always acts in his character. And God so often acts in love, but it's also always tempered with all the other characteristics of God. God never acts where he forgets about one of his other attributes, his characteristics. He always acts perfectly, and God being a perfect God always says that. But he says, because we received his love, we ought to share that love. We love God. Jesus was teaching one day, and he said, one way to summarize all the Ten Commandments is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul and your mind, and love your neighbor yourself. In other words, the first four of the Ten Commandments are our relationship between us and God. And the next six of the Ten Commandments are our relationship outwards to other people. Not envying, not coveting, not doing all these things. And so first four is what we call sometimes our vertical relationship. Where the second group of the Ten Commandments and the other six are our horizontal relationships. And so when we get in the right relationship with God this way, and it makes it much easier for us to live out a Christian life toward other people. And the message of the gospel is the message that's been shared with us, and so we're to go out and share that with others. We share the message of God's love with our whole life. We share it with our thoughts. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. We have the right thoughts toward God, and the right thoughts toward ourselves, and the right thoughts toward other people, that they need love. They need that care. And so when the thoughts are right, then we begin to have the right words, and we begin to have the right deeds and actions. And Jesus is the ultimate example of doing this. And he taught the disciples, he taught the apostles, and they began to do the same thing. And it began to trickle down until it eventually got to us. So because the message of the gospel has been shared with us, we now want to share it with others. Second thing, the message of the gospel, the message of love. The message of love, number one, is to be shared. The message of love, number two, the message of love is the opposite of hate. It is the opposite of hate. This passage shares it with us, verse 13, verse 15. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. That's what's done toward us. Sometimes in subtle ways, sometimes maybe in not very subtle ways, when the world hates the Christian or hates Christian principles. Then also in verse number 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. In other words, this is going back to what John heard Jesus teach earlier, that it's not just the only outward things that we see, but it's the intent of the heart. Jesus taught if we hate in our heart, it's an act of murder. Jesus said if we lust in our heart, we really committed adultery. Very hard teachings, but Jesus was really teaching if the heart's not right, you can hide it from people, but you can't hide it from God. And so the message of love is the opposite of hate. Continuing verse number verse number 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so we ought to be reminded of how hatred starts in the heart. And then we find in these verses, verse number 12, that Cain is the example of that. Look at verse 12 again. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother, and therefore slew he him? Or in other words, why did he slew him? Why did he kill his brother? Why did he look for that opportunity to take his brother's life and spill innocent blood? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. In other words, there was a jealousy there. There was a hatred there. And so what we see in the Bible, and as much as that episode that we're given, we find that Cain was out to get his brother, and Abel kept right on loving his brother. And so the Bible tells us, don't be surprised if there are people that hate us, but we ought to be surprised if we hate others, because we have received God's love, we've experienced God's love, we enjoy God's love, and so when a Christian acts in a hateful way or has a hateful thought, that ought to be a surprise to us. We ought to not like that when those thoughts come into us, because Satan would tempt us to do the same thing. But the Bible's teaching us here, the Bible's reminding us here, the message of love is the opposite of hate. Most likely Cain was loved by his parents. Most likely Cain was loved by his brothers and his sisters. Now you know brothers are just a couple of them mentioned, but they had multiple brothers. Bible teaches Adam and Eve lived a long time. People lived much longer before Noah's flood than they live today. God said, I'll not strive with man as before. And so after the flood, the world was changed in such a way that mankind does not live as long as before. So most likely Adam and Eve lived a long time, had multiple sons and daughters besides the three sons that were given by name. And they married and had children. That's how the world was populated. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. You're saying that brothers married sisters?
Yes, I am. Isn't that wrong?
Yes, it is today. Yes, it was given that way in the law under Moses. This was long before Moses. They could not be breaking the law that had not been given yet. I talked about this in Sunday school some weeks ago. Years ago, out here on this road, the speed limit was 55. It's 45 now. You can't be taking somebody back to court and giving them a ticket for going 55 20 years ago on this road when the speed limit is 45 now. Because that's not the law then. So we can't say that Adam and Eve's children did wrong by having a marriage between brother and sister, or even cousins like Abraham married his half-sister, and others were marrying cousins like Isaac, because the law had not been given yet for them not to do that. So I'm kind of getting off subject here a little bit.
But we go back to Cain. Cain hated his brother. Now this is just a little play of words. How long did Cain hate his brother? As long as he was able. He shouldn't have hated his brother, but he didn't. And the Bible is telling us here that we as Christians need to be on our guard. Why would John mention this? He's mentioning us to, for us as Christians to be on our guard, because if we're not careful, we can allow jealousy to come up in our heart. We can allow us to forget about how much God loves us. We can forget about how much we love other people. And we can act on our emotions instead of what God tells us. And if we're not careful, we begin to get upset with somebody, and then we begin to get jealous of them, and then we begin to hate them, and then ultimately what can happen is not only murder in the heart, but murder out physically. And that's what happened when Cain saw that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but did not accept Cain's sacquifice. It was an act toward God that brought about jealousy. It was because
he was hearing God say, he was hearing his parents had taught him that God says when you bring a sacrifice, it has to be a sacrifice with blood. It was pointing to Jesus, and he wanted to bring grain, he wanted to bring fruit, and there was no blood in that offering. And when he made it, God was not pleased with it. He didn't get upset with God only. He got upset with the one that God was pleased with. And so the Bible tells us, don't be surprised, in these verses that we read, don't be surprised when others hate us for being obedient to God. Don't be surprised when others hate us for doing what God says to do. Jesus taught this often in his sermons. And Jesus taught not only for us to avoid hating others, but be aware that others might hate us. The message of love is the opposite of hate. There are too many times in history where people who were friends, who were family members, who were even spouses, and in the end, something happens and something turns and somebody gets some thought in their mind and somebody else gets something going on that's outside of God's will, and that person who they said they love and they stood before an altar like they did yesterday with a couple,
and then that jealousy starts between spouse, and that hatred starts in the heart, and then there begins to be plans to take that person's life, and ultimately murder takes place. The Bible says that's the opposite of love. That's the opposite of love.
And we can go on with many examples in our society. What some people nowadays call love, a loving act, is nothing more than an act of hatred that's out of God's will. And so, let us be reminded, when any thoughts of hatred come unto our hearts, any thoughts of jealousy, that's the opposite of the message of love that God has placed in our hearts that he wants us to share. Thirdly, the Bible teaches us that the message of love is to be shown in a great way, is to be shown to our brethren. The first act of love, before we can really love the world as we ought to love, is the message of love ought to be shown to the brother. In other words, those that are connected in Christ, the church, the family of God. Look at verse number 14. The message of love is to be shown to the brother. 14. And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. In other words, one of the great signs that we've been saved, one of the great signs that we are truly a Christian, is that we've been saved. What is that great way that we know that we ought to be known as being a Christian? Is the great way that some come along and teach the greatest way that you others know that you're Christian is your success, your successes in life, your accolades, your trophies, your name, letters that are put in front of your name or behind your name, or the certificates you have on the wall? Is it our houses or land that is the greatest, most best evidence that we are Christians, what we own? Is there church buildings or cathedrals that we built? The people, Jesus said, they'll know that you're a Christian
if you build a beautiful sanctuary, that you'll have a Sunday school wing, that you'll have a fellowship hall. That's how the world will know that you are loved by God and you're loving Him.
No, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. It is a love for people. Our sacrificial love that we have. They'll know that you are Christians by our what? Our love. Not just word love, but love indeed. We had that song we used to sing it more often years ago as kids. We'd sing it a lot. They'll know that we are Christians by our love, and they'll know that we are Christians by our love. The Christian love is to be shared with the brethren. We're called more than just to love saved people. We're called here to love the brethren and saved people. We're to love God. It all starts with loving God. And we love God passionately like we ought to. And we love His Word. And we go and we feed on His Word. We'll get these principles and they'll continue to work in our heart. And then we love our fellow believers. And if we love God as we should, and we love His Word as we should, and we're feeding from God, and we're feeding from His Word, and we love the brothers and sisters as we ought to, it'll make it so much easier for us to love lost people. Love is to be shown. Love is the opposite of hate. And here we find that love is so important for the brethren. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, when the church was just getting established in the day of Pentecost, and then the Christians were being really set aside from the Jewish world because they didn't accept Jesus for the most part. And they really had to pull their sources together. And the Bible says in Acts that they shared everything in common because there was people that were most likely losing their job if they were employed by someone. They didn't have the labor laws like we have today. Sometimes we think about life in our society. We have to put life back in the society when the Bible's written. And then have labor laws. And so someone got saved and they were Jewish and their family was Jewish. They say, you're out of here. We're not going to employ you because you're following that man named Jesus. And the Christians really had to pull themselves together and take care of one another. And it grieves my heart. And it probably grieves your heart.
And I know it grieves the heart of God. How many Christians in their world, in their community, that don't get along with other Christians? And the world sees that. And the world thinks, man,
those people down the church, they're bitter with one another. They fight with one another. They back talk one another. They get on Facebook and they say things about the other church. And not doctrinal things, but just not loving people. I have a number of people, and you do too, that you disagree with doctrinally, but we still love one another. We still can talk with one another. We can talk about those different doctrines together, but there's a lot of folks in the Christian community, and I've seen it, and you've seen it, and you may have been part of it and seen it done, where you see somebody that's a Christian, and maybe there's been a difference. And they'll see you in the store, and they'll just off to the other side of the store. Won't even come up the same aisle with you. And the world sees that. And God sees that. And it grieves the heart of God. It will grieve our hearts also. Let's look at the fourth thing, the message of love. Finally, the message of love. In Notice to be assured, not only is that, and the message of love is to be the opposite of hate. The message of love is so important with brethren and sisters in the Lord. But then the last thing, this is verse number 16. The message of love is personified in one person. It's personified in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Verse number 16, the message of love is personified. Wherefore, or in other words, how can you fully understand? Whereby perceive ye the love of God? How can you picture it fully? What's the greatest example of it? It's not Gandhi. It's not Muhammad. It's not, and then the list we can go on and on. Though they may have said many good things and done many good things, none of them laid down their perfect sacrificial life for us. None of them could be the Lamb of God. None of them without sin. Only Jesus, whereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, back to the point before. The message of love is personified in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, ultimately, the picture of love. Jesus Christ, ultimately, the action of love. That he left paradise. Jesus is eternal with the Father. Now, he didn't eternally have flesh.
The Bible says he took on flesh when he came and was born of a virgin. Implanted in Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then was born. He was conceived in her womb. We've gone over that before. He wasn't conceived in the fallopian tubes like a normal pregnancy. He was conceived in her womb, a miracle. And he lived, and he personified love
by doing miracles, by doing teachings. It was leading up to that, but it was ultimately on the cross. And the Bible says here, it reminds us here, tells us, he laid down his life. Jesus was not a martyr. Someone didn't come to take his life. Jesus wasn't a scapegoat. Jesus wasn't just a criminal, though he wasn't the mind of man he could have stopped. The Bible reminds us and tells us, Jesus could have called down 10,000 of angels to stop. He could have spoke. And then would have fell over like they did in the garden, like dead men, passed out. Like they did probably when the tomb was opened up and he walked out. But he didn't. He laid down his life. The Bible tells us, and love is personified. If we want a picture of love, it's not any one of mankind. Though many in mankind reach far into love, but Jesus is the embodiment of love. Looking at Jesus, the Bible is always leading us and pointing us to Jesus. The Old Testament is pointing forward to Jesus. The New Testament is pointing back to Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are pinpointing at Jesus. His love is displayed in his coming, in his living, in his teaching, in his dying, in his being raised again. His love is even pictured by him ascending as he's going back to the Father, that he might do what? That he might intercede for us. But we pray to God through him. He's our great high priest. We go through him. His interceding is part of the love that he has for us. And then he is coming again to capture us out of this world of death, dying, and sickness, and sadness, and taking us to heaven. The love of the message of God's love is personified in Jesus Christ. That's why we have communion today. To go back and just focus this Jesus. It's all about him. He loved us, and I could receive his love, and I could have the message of love in me, and that I can share. The message of love is in Christ, and now it's in us, and the message of love is needed by a lost and dying world. And we're the vessels of love. Have you ever owned a bottle or a vase? passed down. It was precious. My mom, years ago, had these tall vases. And they were kind of about that tall and orange. And when my mom passed, we divided some up in the family. One of my sisters got them. And they were just something we always remembered growing up that was one of the most attractive things, I thought, in our house. Display flowers and things. Or sometimes you might get something else. It's very precious. It's used for something.
We use these same dishes for a very precious part of our service of passing the elements. And
yesterday at the wedding, it was out in front of the wedding hall, this old carriage. And they don't use it anymore. But it was real nice. Had these velvet seats and the buttons and everything. And I would say that one time it was probably used by a family that was pretty well off from that period. It wasn't just your standard one. It actually had leaf springs in it. It had independent wheel suspension. It was pretty fast. Was used as a vessel for something very special. And my encouragement to me and to us is a reminder that you and I are very precious vessels. Not because of who we are, but because of who is in us and what is in us, God and His love. So why do we as Christians treat our lives different? Not because of who we are, but because of who He made us. As we leave today, we go out to a world that needs the message of love. You and I are that precious carriage, that precious bus, that precious car being used. Precious in His sight because He saved us. And He could have taken us
to heaven immediately when we got saved.
We've heard that said many times before.
But He didn't.
Why? Leaves us here to be a vessel, the carrier, the message of love. Look for people this week that need God's love and carry that message.